Sermon text for this evening is from Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Of course, it's another parable, this time the parable of the 10 talents. If you're able, please stand for the hearing of the gospel. And we read from Matthew 25 in Jesus' name. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 more talents. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents here. I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents here, and I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received that which was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you again for this opportunity to gather together around it. Lord, as we look at this parable of the 10 talents, I pray that you would show us our sinfulness and need of a Savior. And Lord, point us to Christ and his finished work for us. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. The parable of the unfaithful servant. This is, again, one of my favorite parables because it's kind of unique. This parable, in just a couple of verses here, Jesus sums up thousands of years of time. He begins by explaining that he soon needs to leave. He's talking about his crucifixion and death and resurrection and ascension. And then he sums up the entire church age, all the way from Pentecost onward. And finally, he comes to the day of judgment, where everyone needs to come and give an account before him. In this parable, Jesus tells of a master who's going to be going away for a long journey. And as he goes, he entrusts his servants with some finances. Each one is given according to their skills and abilities. So he gives one man 5 talents and another 2 talents, and the last servant, he only gets 1. Even the slave who has only been entrusted with 1 talent, though, is still entrusted with quite a bit. A talent, as you may recall, is a measure of either gold and silver, and it was about 75 pounds worth. So even if this was a silver talent, the servant who only had 1 was still entrusted with over $20,000 to work with. It's clear that the servants were entrusted with these things, and they were not gifts for them to keep, because when the master returns in the end, everyone's got to make an accounting of what they did while the master was gone. So the first servant, who is given the 5 talents, he goes straight to work, and he takes the 5, he makes another 5, and turns it into 10. The second servant likewise goes straight to work, takes his 2 talents, makes 2 more, and he's got 4 in the end. But the last guy, who is only given 1 talent, still a significant sum, he just digs a hole and then tosses the cash in there for safekeeping. This part of the parable is talking to us about the church age. Because from the time of Pentecost on, God has been entrusting all believers with gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7 tell us this. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Everyone is given gifts, given for the common good, and our gifts are not the same, and we don't have the same number of gifts, but whatever it is God has given you, he gave it to you intending for you to use it for the sake of the kingdom. While all Christians are given different gifts, there is one gift that all Christians share in common, and this is that great gift of faith. Ephesians 2:8 makes this clear to us. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." Luther also teaches this in the Small Catechism as he explains the third article. He writes, "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified me, and kept me in the one true faith." But after this gracious gift of salvation that God gives to all who believe, he also gifts us with things to be used for the kingdom of God, gifts that God intends us to be putting to use. These gifts include the list in 1 Corinthians 12, as well as other places in Scripture, the specific spiritual gifts. But what God has given us also has to do with our natural talents and abilities, as well as our financial blessings that God has given to us. You see, everything we have, it is a good gift from the hand of God. Everything we have isn't really ours, just like those talents given to the slaves. God has given it to us so that we might use it for his work and for his glory, so that many more might hear the gospel and come to believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. In our parable tonight, the first 2 servants, they did what their master intended. They took what they were entrusted with. They used it, they doubled their money, and when the master came back, they had that evidence to show. These 2 servants, they did what God would have us do as well, use what we have been given for the sake of the kingdom. It's not that we have to earn anything to become acceptable to God, that would be impossible, but instead using the good gifts God has given us is a fruit of our faith in him. Remember the words that Jesus said in John chapter 15, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Or the brother of Jesus, James, in James 2:17, "Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." You see, true faith in Jesus Christ does good works. It uses the good gifts that God has given for the purpose God would have us use them for. Those with true faith use what they have been entrusted with. They will hear the same thing as those servants did. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." But it's kind of a different story with the first servant, isn't it? He didn't go to work. He didn't use what his master had given him. He didn't even take the effort to invest it in the bank. Actually, that would have been a lot easier than digging a hole big enough for 75 pounds of metal to go into. But he didn't even take it to the bank where it would have gained interest. He just hid what God entrusted to him, what his master had entrusted to him. And when he gave his account, he heard something completely different than the first two did. He heard, take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10. And cast this worthless servant into the outer darkness in that place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a pretty harsh judgment that comes upon this third unfaithful servant. But it's harsh because Scripture only knows one punishment for sin. And that punishment is eternal hell, suffering separated from our God. This servant, by not using what the master had given him, demonstrates his lack of faith. And the same is true for us. If we aren't using what God has given us for the sake of the kingdom, we are showing our own lack of faith as well, because as Scripture makes clear, true faith always bears good fruit. True faith is always accompanied by good works. And that is really the terrifying part of this parable. And it's terrifying because I've actually met me. I know me. And as I look at my life, I realize I haven't always been a good and faithful servant. I haven't used my talents as God would have me use them. I've ignored opportunities to use them, and I've used them poorly at times, not even caring. As I look at these three servants, I have to admit that I feel much more like that third unfaithful servant than I feel like the truly faithful servants who have done what God has called them to do. I would guess that as you look at your own lives, you're going to see the same sort of thing. If you do, know at least that you are in good company. And I'm not talking about myself. Do you remember the Apostle Paul's words in Romans chapter 7? For I do not do the good I want, but I do the evil I do not want to do. You see, honestly, there's only ever been one good and truly good and faithful servant, and that is Jesus Christ. He lived the perfect life, the sinless life that we cannot live, always doing the will of his Father, always doing the work of the kingdom. And Jesus bore all of your sin. You see, every time you acted like an unfaithful servant, any time you hid or squandered the good gifts that God has given you, he took those sins upon him as he went to the cross and paid the price for them in full, facing God's full wrath in your place. And everything that Christ did in his perfect life and atoning death is freely given to sinners like us in word and sacrament. They become ours by grace and through faith. By grace and through faith, our sins are washed, and we unfaithful servants are clothed in the righteousness of the one true, good, and faithful servant, Jesus Christ. So for all who believe, even though we're mediocre servants at best, for all of us who have placed our trust in that finished work of Jesus Christ, when the final day comes, we will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter now into your master's joy." But not because of our righteousness. That's not enough to make us a good servant. Instead, it is because of the righteousness of Jesus. And in Jesus, even our weak and feeble attempts to use the gifts that God has given to us for the kingdom become fully and completely acceptable to God, even tainted by sin as they are. They are pleasing in the eyes of God because of Jesus Christ. So rest and abide in the finished work of Jesus, which is enough even for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this parable of the unfaithful servant. Lord, we confess that we have been unfaithful as well. We have squandered your good gifts. We have failed to even recognize that you're from your hand. We haven't used them as we should. Lord, forgive us. Focus our eyes upon the cross, upon Jesus, who bore even those sins, paid the price for them, faced the full wrath we deserved, so that we would never have to experience it. Lord, by this, strengthen our faith in the finished work of Christ for us. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.